Welcome to Media Nouveau, a podcast series exploring new media, old media, and the murky area in between.
We're students in David Morgan's New Media Writing class at Emory University.
Throughout the semester, we will discuss and question different facets of the ever-changing media landscape,
examining the ways in which we interact with and shape media. Each episode will explore a publication,
so that the series as a whole will articulate our own definition of these genres.
Welcome to the Media Nouveau. I'm Christine.
And I'm Katie, and we're going to be your hosts for today.
So today we will answer the question, what is the role of spreadability in new media, and how does that define the media the companies choose to produce? So in Why Media Spreads by Henry Jenkins, he argues that one of the qualities and aims of new media is what he deems spreadability. And honestly, when I first read that term, I just thought of peanut butter and cream cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
Which made me really hungry, but anyway. It involves the technical resources, economic structures, and attributes of social networks, which make it possible for media to spread and reach multiple audiences.
And to answer this question, we're going to look specifically at a company called Soul Pancake, and they release videos and other content to explore life's big questions.
And also, one of the other reasons, like, why Soul Pancake and not another interface is that Soul Pancake really has that positive attitude. It really shows a lot of inspiration. They show, like, they have some series where they show tragic life events and they filter it through positive light, which gives us a lot of inspiration and just makes it people, like, put the people's achievements in the spotlight. Also, when reading the Soul Pancake's mission, value, and statement, they said they were targeting this audience, which is called Optimistic Millennial. And I feel that really relates to one of the terms I read from Krieger, which is narrowcasting.
Exactly, and narrowcasting carries a lot of implications with it. So since Soul Pancake targets their media specifically to the optimistic millennial, they no longer have to produce content to appeal to a mass audience in the same way that was characteristic of old media. So whereas a company like CNN used to put out a news broadcast that supposedly any American could have been interested in, Soul Pancake has the liberty to create media towards just a targeted group of people. And in that way, media is being formed from the bottom up, and the consumer has a lot more power. They can force the company to produce what they want based on the choices that they make online. And this is a big change from the top-down model that we saw a lot in old media.
Also, I feel that narrowcasting, it actually opens up this whole new world of production. Like, there's no need for expensive studios or cameras, and honestly, like, you don't need to be, like, a director of, like, a certain movie. You can literally just take out your phone and start recording and then just share it with the world.
Yeah, that's a really great point, because when you narrowcast, all you need is to make something to target that one person, and you just need a small group of people to make it worthwhile.
Yes, and also I feel like this is a big change from old media, as in, like, for example, old media would be way more passive. It just would be, like, reading a book, for example, would be just a writer writing a book, and then the reader reads it. There's no, like, interaction, there's no sharing of ideas. I mean, with the writer, you do share your emotions, but with this interface, it's just another, a whole experience.
Soul Pancake made a really interesting video called Kitten Therapy, The Prescription for Stress, and it's been shared over 2 million times. It begins by asking random people about stress in their daily lives.
One thing that brings me stress is deadlines.
It always seems like it's going to fall apart at any second.
I drove to Arizona and back yesterday. The top two things that stress me out, not having enough time. All I want to do is relax.
And then they put them in a glass box with kittens and they talk about stress relief. And honestly, who can be stressed around kittens?
I know, right?
I might just get one.
You can't be stressed after sitting in a box full of kittens.
Being around young creatures just reminds you to take it easy. It was great, unexpected, and adorable. You want to do it again?
Yeah.
Right now?
So this video is really useful for examining new media because I think they do a good job of incorporating something that's not so new, which is just talking to people on the street. There's nothing new about that. But the way that they recorded it and edited it into a video makes it extremely spreadable. So they included the background music and they put all the short little clips together of people talking. And I think they did a really good job of making it something that their targeted audience, the optimistic millennial, would really enjoy.
So wait, so how is this Kid in Therapy video an example of new media? What would make it different from old media? Because you said that it doesn't really change from like the past and how they talk.
I think that just the conversation itself isn't necessarily new media, but I think that the way they put it together and then it's in a shareable video. So you can comment on it on YouTube and somebody can take that and they can share it on their Facebook page and then they put their comment on it and they engage in conversations with the people that they know. And that's really what makes it new media, is that there's a participatory element to it.
So for example, if like I feel if I would have broadcasted something like this in an old media platform such as TV documentary, like something where you can only find it once, it may not be as successful because people can just view it one time and then it's over and there's no way to like make it spread.
Yeah, I totally agree. Another thing that Jenkins talks about for spreadability is that can be used for a lot of different purposes. So like for this video, it was actually made in partnership with Purina to promote a certain brand of Tiny Cats food. But I think it can also be used for the millennial who wants to lift their mood, or a pet shelter to promote adoption, or a psychologist to talk about positive relationships with animals. So that's another thing that makes it spreadable, is that it can be applied to a lot of different niche communities in a lot of different ways.
So basically, you get to share this content with different interfaces. And it's not only on Facebook. Like, I feel like, honestly, about hearing Soul Pancakes, it literally brings you to their YouTube channel, not their actual website. Mm-hmm. So just this, like, diversity.
The Game Therapy video also brings up questions about the future of marketing. It was made in partnership with Purina in order to promote sales of Tidy Cats among what they called, quote, Catpanions. So it's interesting to see here that they're narrow casting even further in this video. They're not just targeting the optimistic millennial, but the Catpanions among them. This could be a more effective form of marketing than something like, say, TV commercials, because the advertisement is almost disguised within a form of entertainment. People share, comment on, and like their video because they like its message or the cats, but at the same time, they're distributing Purina's ad for free. It's possible that more companies are going to begin to lean toward a spreadability model in their advertisements like Purina did in order to capitalize on the ways that people today are interacting online.
Okay, so spreadability, it allows for a new form of marketing to happen in form of entertainment, where I feel like it influences the consumer unconsciously. Like, you don't realize that it's for, like, Purina. But doesn't this, like, reliance on spreadability pose, like, problems such as the tension between, like, entertainment and facts?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think it's important to note that it's not just advertisements that's become more spreadable in a new media context like this. But it's pretty much everything from news to political messages to everything that people consume online. And even with Soul Pancake, they say that they're attempting to answer life's big questions. And objectively, that's a pretty serious undertaking. But in attempting to make their content spreadable above everything else, entertainment becomes a primary decision-making factor, and it might even be given more weight than it's warranted. So, for example, the Kitten Therapy video is definitely entertaining, but did it truly make the viewer understand how to cope with stress, or did it really make an impact, or really did it just make the viewer feel good and look at cute kittens?
So another aspect of spreadable media is the participatory element that you also mentioned earlier. And I feel like companies like Soulcake heavily rely on participatory culture. And like the podcast that was done before us in like last semester has brought up this element. And I feel that without these users sharing and interacting with media and everything, their videos and other content would never reach beyond the small number of people who seek out on their website. So it would be constricted to like a small sphere. And in that way, I believe that spreadability has to be a principal concern for a company in order to become popular.
So do you think that participatory culture kind of evens the playing field in that way, and that all consumers have more power?
So I feel that some consumers, they actually exert a greater power than others, just like Henry Jenkins said. So for example, let's take someone with a position in a production company. That person would have more power than a regular consumer on what type of media to like publish. And we can see that in old media, I believe that participatory culture is virtually non-existent, as the consumer is not active and it's a fixed content and it's scripted. and it does not allow basically for the content to diverge. Where this contrasts with like new media, where people can contribute in different ways to the same topic, and there are lower like barriers to what a person can express and ability to like voice their opinions.
So in terms of Soul Pancake, this relates back to what I was saying before about media being defined from the bottom up. New media might not be completely democratic in the way that it seems, because there's a certain type of optimistic millennial that Soul Pancake probably wants to target. It's probably just someone with a lot of followers who's going to reach the most people and therefore spread the company's message.
So we have looked at Soul Pancake and explored the role of prosperability in the new media context and how it defines like the media production. And companies like Soul Pancake rely heavily on consumers' participation, and thus spreadability is a major goal for them.
We found that entertainment plays a huge role in making something spreadable, along with consumers' ability to participate and narrowcasting to create media to satisfy a certain group of consumers.
However, this made us question how like this spreadability has impacted the tension between like entertainment and facts, where we feel like there's an unequal balance between the purpose of like the Kitten video and its efficiency in like serving as a guide coping with stress, and its element of entertainment, where I feel like this video is like, for me, was more entertaining than like a guide for stress coping. So some can argue that when spreadability becomes a priority, entertainment takes precedence over like everything.
But ultimately, we found that spreadability is an aspect of new media that should be embraced, because it gives consumers as a whole more power to influence companies' decision-making, and because it allows people to engage important issues in ways that they might not otherwise be exposed to.
So thank you for tuning in to this episode of Media Nouveau. We would like to recognize our line producer, Dami, and our executive producer, David Morgan. We hope to see you next week on Media Nouveau and leave some comments.
Thank you.
Goodbye.